This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first call your parents to say, "I'm sorry." And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Bulls have a lot ahead of them this offseason to add some clarity to the roster, and we're going to go through those things, but more importantly, I'm going to tell you guys why it's going to be very difficult for the Bulls to fix everything that they need to fix this offseason. We'll talk about all that, plus we're going to dive a little bit into the mailbag and look at who is the most to blame for the Chicago Bulls season. All that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. Let's go ahead and get into this content for today. And so I want to start off talking about the stages of the offseason for the Chicago Bulls. And we've kind of touched on them individually in different videos, but I kind of want to put it all in one place today and go over the Bulls' kind of offseason plans, for lack of a better term, there, right? And so we, of course, have the draft coming up first. Now, the draft is where maybe we could see a trade at the draft. We've seen players traded at the draft before to really change the direction of their team, and maybe the Bulls do look to trade Zach LaVine there, but we're going to separate the trade market and the draft talk here for a while. And, you know, I talked about yesterday the Bulls' biggest draft needs, right? Some three-point shooting, a defender, a 3-and-D wing if they can get one, a center. And while the best thing, that I think the clearest thing that the Bulls should focus on, just kind of looking at everything, is center, we all know that AK and Eversley do not necessarily look at the world the same way we do. And so, yeah, it seems like the clear focus for the Chicago Bulls should be center heading into this draft, especially with a lot of solid centers and power forwards, for that matter, in this draft as well, that maybe that should be the focus by the team. Now, the thing that the Bulls are always going to weigh, and that's with every team, I don't want to make this exclusive to the Bulls, is that going best available or going position of need, right? And typically teams, when you see them, that's kind of the downside of the NBA having the draft before free agency. You really would like to see some needs filled with free agency first. And then, but, you know, the Bulls aren't going to be real big players there regardless. But, you know, that is the common mindset coming into it, is that the Bulls are, do they go best available depending on who they have, especially in a draft that, you know, isn't the deepest draft as far as star level talent. Do you go with the player that you think has the biggest chance to reach a star level, or just be the better player out of that, regardless of position, which is kind of what the Bulls have done before, right? Or do that you go a position of need, which there are still some really solid prospects at that. And that's the thing that the Bulls are going to have to ask themselves. And I think I would not be surprised if Bulls fans are honestly pretty disappointed by what the Bulls end up doing in this draft. Now, I'm just leaving that, and maybe that's a little PTSD from this team. It is what it is. But when you see a team that needs a center, needs some shot blocking and rim protection, and then decides to draft Dalen Terry over Walker Kessler, you know, you tend to learn from that, right? And learn that, hey, maybe this front office just doesn't see things the same way that some other teams and things do. And that could be fine with that as well, right? If you go best player available, you better be damn sure that they're going to be the best player available at that draft selection. Too often now with this front office have we seen them go a player and try to sell us on the potential and talk about the ceiling, and what do we always hear? Well, we're really surprised they were available there. And to the credit of that front office, well, it didn't work with Patrick Williams as of yet, right? Of course, we always look at the Tyrese Halliburton. It didn't work with Dalen Terry as of yet. But Ayo Dosunmu seemed to be a pretty damn good pick there for the Chicago Bulls, right? Especially with the way he developed last season. So, you know, just get it right. And that's kind of the mindset that I've had in talking about the Bears as well over on Bears Central. It's like, just get it right. And so that's what it comes down to. And so I would not be surprised if ultimately, just by the name of the pick, that maybe some Bulls fans are, the position of the pick, that some Bulls fans are disappointed. But, you know, get the best player. If you do go best available, they better be ready to contribute. You know, at some point, the Bulls have to change their mindset, and this may be the season where we actually see a rookie drafted actually have to play right away, especially with the Bulls being right up against the luxury tax and not able to, unless other big moves happen to make a lot of trades that, you know, can we be one of those teams that actually play? Can we get a G.G. Jackson in here? Which Julian Phillips may turn out to be damn good, right? We know that he didn't play a whole hell of a lot, but we got to play these guys. So, you know, that's what it comes down to with the draft. The Bulls, are they going to go position to need? Are they going to go best available? Or maybe they see those as one and the same, right? Maybe the player that they have best available also fits a need by the Chicago Bulls. And we'll end up seeing what happens with that. So I already see that that my brother Korn has indoctrinated C-Dub over there at the Shy Bulls podcast with the Cognac Boys on Zach Edey. Listen, Zach Edey is not the pick at number 11, right? He's just not it at number 11. And Zach Edey's ability to make an NBA team or whatever else, that's something we can have a discussion for on another day. But believe me, we'll be diving into the draft prospects. And Zach Edey's definitely one of those players that I'm going to spend a lot of time on talking about his game and pointing out some things. But, you know, so that's where it comes to with the draft. Best player available. And then you got to look at free agency, right? And unfortunately, it comes down to, once again, continuity or flexibility for the Chicago Bulls in free agency. And by that, I mean this. If you re-sign DeMar DeRozan and Patrick Williams, you're not going to have a whole lot of flexibility. And even if you don't, you still don't have tons of flexibility at all. It's either no flexibility or a little bit. Now, that is not saying if the Bulls can't move Zach LaVine and not take back his full salary, or they don't do something with Lonzo Ball's contract. But as things are right now, right, with the picture that we have right now, it's either going to be continuity or it's going to be flexibility. That's why AK's words and him saying that change needs to happen and they want to get back more towards what they did in their first offseason here, it's going to be interesting to watch, because, you know, it's not the straightforward path, right? You got free agent decisions to make on DeMar DeRozan, who they reportedly offered $40 million a year to. Take that with a grain of salt. You got Patrick Williams, whose qualifying offer is $12.9 million. Players typically don't sign for less than their qualifying offer. It does happen, so there is a possibility there. But that those two moves alone will basically determine, unless a subsequent move happens with a trade, what the Bulls' free agency is. You also have Torrey Craig with the player option. Andre Drummond's an unrestricted free agent. Javonte Green's an unrestricted free agent. So, you know, the Bulls trying to create something to which they can use at least part to all of their mid-level exception is the most likely scenario here. And that's still not a whole lot, hell of a lot of spending power. And because Javonte Green is an unrestricted free agent and you don't own his bird rights, that means that if the Bulls do bring Javonte Green back, that's going to be with part of the mid-level exception. So, you know, the Bulls just don't have a ton of flexibility at shaping up coming into free agency. And so, you know, hearing things like the Bulls could, you know, be star hunting and things. And like I said on yesterday's episode, people bringing up, well, the Bulls could go after Nick Claxton with what money? Like, that's the thing. And unless AK gets really creative in creating that more money for the Chicago Bulls, it's going to be real interesting to watch how the Bulls can become any type of player really on the free agent market. It's not a clear path to it. There's paths, but they're very difficult paths to do it. And one of those paths is the trade market. So when it comes down to it, the Bulls, we know that they plan on, at least reportedly, still shopping Zach LaVine, called an organizational focal point by KC Johnson. And, you know, it doesn't seem like that marriage has gotten any better, right? So moving Zach LaVine still seems like one of the best bets for the Chicago Bulls to free up and alleviate some cap space for them to between them and that luxury tax, right? Again, this still isn't a move that's going to create true cap space for the Bulls. So it also gives you an opportunity to kind of flesh out your depth a little bit more, right? So, you know, the Zach LaVine trade isn't going to be all of a sudden this trade where you're getting a star-level player talent back, unless AK sweetens the pot. And the thing with that is the Bulls aren't really in a position to give up tons of more draft capital. They can't trade their first-round pick until 2027, and they even can't do that now just because there are protections on the 2026 pick, because we don't know if the 2025 pick is going to be conveyed. So the Bulls, even if they did or see a move where they can move a first-round pick to get some big talent back in here, they can't trade a pick until 2028. So it's a lot of different scenarios and avenues. And so the trade market for Zach, whether it's Zach LaVine, whether it's Lonzo Ball, you don't expect a big trade market for Nikola Vucevic. Alex Caruso is another potential one, but I think the Bulls are probably going to end up keeping him because they're still trying to compete, right? They're not going full rebuild. They're just trying to change this roster. So it's the trade thing. The reason why I have just the kind of focus on Zach LaVine here is because that's the more likely trade chip to really kind of add some things to the other areas that the Bulls do need, clarity in those areas for free agency, for the mid-level exception, for your bench depth. And we'll see what comes of that. But overall, like, the Bulls are it's not going to be, and I've said this before, it's not going to be this easy offseason to make a bunch of moves. And I think Bulls fans, in hearing that AK wants to make changes, a lot of people are holding out hope that it's going to be these wholesale changes and all of a sudden we're going to be rocking and rolling and competing. It's going to be a couple of years probably before that happens. Now, I think this first year, unless, like I said, AK gets totally creative, I didn't see him getting Zoe, DeMar, AC, all that in one offseason, offseason where we had no cap space then either. So, you know, maybe there is those unlikely moves that AK can pull out of his sleeve or something like that. But barring those things happening, it's going to be slim pickings for the Bulls, and it's not going to be a season where theoretically the Bulls go from this play-in team to all of a sudden this team competing for the 6th, 7th seed, 5th seed, or anything like that, unless it's going to take some creativity from the front office to do so. And so we'll end up seeing what comes of that. Let me know what you guys think on that down below. But then to get into it, I want to talk about what's most to blame for the Bulls season. You're going to hear a lot of it, right? Some Bulls fans only blame Billy Donovan and his coaching. It's definitely a part of it. Some Bulls fans look at the decline from Nikola Vucevic, and a lot of you guys definitely blame Vuce, and make no mistake about it. Vuce was bad this season. Vuce is the perfect example of why you can't just look at a stat sheet and really determine a player's, you know, value. Now, it wasn't as bad as what some Bulls fans make it out to be either, but it wasn't good by any stretch of the imagination, no matter how much you try to wink and close your eyes. You know, yeah, he averaged 18 points per game, almost 11 rebounds on 48% shooting. But then when you start looking at the shooting splits, when you start looking at the efficiency, when you start looking at how the Bulls were better offensively and defensively without Vuce on the court, it paints a full picture there where it's like, hey, man, it wasn't what people thought that or wanted it to be from Vuce, especially, you know, him coming into this season at the presser and saying things like, well, I know I'm a damn good center if you can take my three ball away. Yet you took 4 3-pointers per game and you hit that at a 29% clip. One of the worst of your career, especially at that volume. Vuce has not shot the three ball that bad since 2015-16, almost a decade. And so defensively, we all seen it. We know that Vuce is bad, but it's not all to blame on Nikola Vucevic either. You got some Bulls fans that look at Zach LaVine, talk about the fact that he's the highest player. He didn't really up his game. And believe me, Zach LaVine started off this season bad. Zach LaVine was bad when he played games mostly this season. It just is what it is. He didn't really have a chance to work himself out of it. DeMar was bad to start the season too, and he kind of worked himself out of where he was. Ultimately, it comes down to this. For the Chicago Bulls, to me, the one thing that I'm blaming this season the most on is the front office, because the front office is the ones that built all this. And I think when you look at the Chicago Bulls front office and their lack of movement in a lot of areas, it really becomes more evident, right? Their bet on continuity, the fact that they keep reading the market almost a year behind how everything would go, continues to combat them, right? Combat the fact that they're trying to get to success. And I'm glad that Arturis did admit that changes are needed, because, yeah, you have to first admit that there's a problem to then start trying to solve the problem. So shout out to AK for admitting that. But, you know, not making big changes last offseason, okay. But then you evaluated and saw where this team were, and you had yet another trade deadline. And I know a lot of people focus on the trade deadline, and it's not just about that. It's about the series of things that led you to the series of lack of movement, right? We really haven't been truly active since adding, you know, Alex Caruso and DeMar and all those guys in free agency. Yeah, we got Andre Drummond the year after that, and Drum has played big dividends off for the Chicago Bulls on a vet minimum salary. You did good on that one. But then you look at the other acquisitions. Goran Dragic didn't do much. Pat Bev, midseason signing, right? Buyout signing, did do wonders for the Chicago Bulls. I got to give him credit on that. Torrey Craig, Javon Carter, didn't really make a big impact for the Bulls. Now, Javon Carter was just bad for the most part this season. I've even seen some people, excuse his badness by like saying things like, what was his role? Well, he didn't earn a role, right? You have to earn it. Like, I hate this mindset where it's like, where players play bad and it's like, well, it's on coaching because his role was inconsistent. Yeah, his role was inconsistent because you couldn't bet on him giving you any type of consistent level of output, right? That's why his role was consistent. His role wasn't consistent because the coaches didn't want to play him. His role was inconsistent because he couldn't stay on the goddamn basketball court because he was bad at everything we brought him in here to do well. And then Torrey Craig's season was up and down. I think the injuries played a big part in that. But at the end of the day, it didn't really make a big impact for the Bulls. So I'm glad that Arturis recognizes now where it is. And the fact that he does claim that this thing needs change is a big thing. But the front office, and I know some people are going to also blame ownership. You guys know my mindset on it. That, yeah, it's great to have an owner that focuses on winning more than anything. Jerry Reinsdorf is an owner that basically gives his president of basketball operations full go, just don't go into the luxury tax. So it's something that the clarity is needed for this team. And AK has really kind of, in a lot of ways, set on his hands, kind of bet on this team to kind of figure it out. Even coming into the season, knowing that you wanted a young player to hopefully step up. You got to. Ione Kobe, big time, stepped up for the Chicago Bulls this season. You can't deny that. You can't overlook it. And the injuries to other players and things like that caused the Bulls to stay exactly where they were. We can't just bet on that anymore. We have to be more aggressive at improving this team. So that's what I bet. And that's not to say that coaching absolutely has an impact. Absolutely. I'm no way abstaining Billy. Billy Donovan has to be better, or get assistants on your bench that you're going to listen to and trust that are going to bring some things that you lack in your coaching. Unfortunately, Billy's going to be here two more years. We know that now. That's his deal. He's going to be here two more years. I would say if not more. We know that the limitations of this roster, right? We know that that happens. But again, those things come down to this. That's the front office. And you got to look at your front office. They have to be more aggressive, and they have to put winning above everything. And so far, they haven't. They put player relations. They put the relationships that they've built with these players above everything else. And until those things change, the Bulls are going to be this team that continues to struggle, this team that continues to fall short, this team that continues to win some games, does some things that Bulls fans like and enjoy. And, you know, those things are going to happen, right? It's going to be some solid basketball played at times. But until you make that consistent and be more aggressive about how you build that, it's going to continue being seasons of disappointment for the Bulls. So let's hope that those things can change as well. But with that said, I do want to get a little bit into the voicemail bag today. We got one voicemail we're going to play. This one's from Reginald.
Hey, this is Reginald from Columbus, Georgia. I just wanted to put out there something like, when I saw that the Bulls might be going after like a big star, my mind was like, what's the point? Because the way I see it, what this team needs is someone who can do some of what Lonzo Ball did, some of what Zach LaVine did, some of what Jamal did, some sort of combination of the three, and still be in the prime of their career. And I don't think the Bulls have the money to make that happen, unless they're going to like backload a lot of it. But they need someone who can essentially see the weaknesses in a team's defense or a team's and capitalize on it. You know, get guys to move, get guys to in the right position, not be afraid to scream at somebody and tell them to do a job, while at the same time being able to drop 30 points a night, you know, if that's what it needs be to take that last shot, or to pass the ball up to get another guy the last shot, and who can play both sides of the ball. Someone who, you know, is going to have a bad night offensively, that just means they're just going to double down defensively. You know, who can provide you all those things you need. And above all else, someone who can be that coach on the floor who can make, you know, real-time adjustments, whether it's with Billy or in spite of him. Like, knowing when to call a timeout, knowing when to go on a fast break, knowing who has the hot hand and making sure they get the ball. And even if it means calling plays for them in the game instead of, you know, wait for Billy to do it. You know, that's one of the type of players they need, and I don't see that guy being available. Like, maybe a Paul George, but, you know, if I'm Philly and I got over, what, 60, 80 million that I could just give a guy, and if I hear Paul George available, I'm going after him. So that's just the way I look at it. The Bulls need help. The Bulls need depth. The Bulls need shooting. And the Bulls need more confident head coach. And I doubt the Bulls are going to get all that this offseason. It might take a couple of years to do it, but what's your opinion on that? Thanks.
Shout out to Reginald on that. But, you know, much like I kind of said at the top of the show, I'll say that again, is that ultimately, this what the Bulls do have to do, everything ahead of the Bulls in fixing this team, is more than likely not going to be done in one season. And that's where you start getting into, what is the Bulls' goals coming out this offseason? Is it going to be another season of being competitive, right? Competing for a playing spot, and, you know, maybe doing that a little bit more straightforward, right? You do have a top 10 pick that's protected to the San Antonio Spurs next year. So if the Bulls are happen to be bad next year and they do barely miss the play-in or even are the 10th seed next year and then they get the 10th overall pick, something like that, they keep their pick, right? So maybe it's something like that where the Bulls do, because next year's draft does shape up to be a really, really good draft for, you know, as far as depth, whereas this draft kind of lacks in the talent pool as far as star level talent. Next year's draft does not do that. 2025 draft is going to be pretty deep. So how much does that also factor in to the plans of this front office and what they want to do and how and what team they try to field out there, right? Is it a season where if you do move off from Zach, if DeMar does not re-sign with you as well, which we'll see if both those things happen, are you then more apt to let your young players sink or swim? Give opportunities to Daylen, Julian Phillips, whoever you draft, right, to give them opportunities to see exactly what you have in them. So then that way you can go into the 2025 draft and maybe you are looking to Will and Dylan move off some of these young players that you just don't think, Patrick Williams as well in that too. So, you know, those are big questions ahead of the Bulls, you know, with what they say. But yeah, great point there, Reginald. It's not all fixable this offseason. It's just not. As a Bulls fan, would I like to see them fix it all in one offseason? Yeah. But also in trying to be realistic and trying to be level-headed, it's going to be extremely difficult to do. Now, some teams find a way to do it. If AK finds a way, it'll be a big step forward for him, right? But it ultimately, it just does not seem like that may happen this offseason. But hey, I would love to be wrong on that. And I'd love to be sitting here next year talking about a team, instead of talking about already our offseason plans, maybe talking about a team that has won one playoff game or is competitive in a playoff series. I would love for that to be the case. I don't have the biggest faith in it right now via what we've seen, but I would absolutely love for that to be the case. Let's see if it is. Make sure you guys are following the show at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, thanks to you guys. And like I liked in every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.